Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
This week, we bring on Francis Spivey.
Hey, friends.
But first, Tyler, what are we sipping on?
We are sipping on Larceny today, but we're not quite sipping on it because Ms. Francis Spivey made us her version of an old-fashioned. So tell us how you made the old-fashioned, and then we'll go into a little bit more about actually, you know quite a bit about Larceny and a story with it. So actually, I'll hand it on over to you.
Sweet. So I'll start with the story because that's before the old-fashioned part even started.
Yeah.
So during my demobilization of my last deployment, which we'll go down into, but I worked in Texas for about 2.5 months. Yeah, it was a long time. But a friend of mine and I were on the hunt for this year bottle of Larceny that a friend had. And we found a way to get to his stash. So without him knowing, we acquired it. Yes, that's what I like to say in the military. So it's even better that the name of it's Larceny. We didn't realize the irony until much later. And we're like, oh, wait a second. This is great. So but my dear friend Katie, so she's who got me into this type of recipe. They don't actually do bourbon in old fashions where she's from, which is super weird. They do brandy.
Interesting.
Yeah, like they call them brandy old fashions. But she's who got me into adding Sprite to it. So it's, let's see, cherries, 2 types of bitters, a little orange zest, the bourbon, and then Sprite. I don't think I missed anything. But yeah, so it's more of like a fuller cocktail than just, you know, your single or double shot would be. So
let's check it out.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
I like that extra fizz that you get from the Sprite in there.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah.
It's definitely better than like adding club soda. I feel like the little bit of the lime from Sprite definitely makes it pop.
I like the sweetness of it. Normally, I'm not a big like sweet drink kind of person, but I mean, for the sake of this, it cuts kind of the... I don't feel like Larceny straight is a super great go-to, but adding some Sprite makes it pretty good. Mm.
So just... I'm going to start this off with a silly question. You don't like sweetness, but do you drink iced tea or sweet tea?
Excuse me, where am I from? Like, we don't know. I don't drink dirt water. I only drink sweet tea. But I have to, it's in moderation, man. When I was a kid, I'm sure I could have, like, gone ham on it. But these days, it's probably, like, 1,000 calories in one glass of Bojangles tea. It's good, but.
Chugga.
Had to bring it up because a few weeks ago, we were talking to another special guest we brought on, and she was talking about how she can't do a full glass of sweet tea anymore. It has to be a 50-50 mix because the sweetness just...
Yeah, I don't even know that I could water it down, though. If I want it, like, we're going full on, but at the same time, like, maybe once every quarter.
Yeah.
It takes a while to recover. Like, I feel like I'd dry mouth after because it's so sweet. I don't know if people do it by the gallon.
Gosh.
Now, every once in a while, like, if I decide to get a little crazy and I'll go to, like, Chick-fil-A and be like, I'll get a medium sweet tea.
We're in Alder. I can't even say it. Arnold Palmer. I never can say it, but they don't call it that anymore.
No.
It's like Arnold a copyright Palmer thing.
Is a real thing.
No. But at Chick-fil-A, it can't be called that.
Chick-fil-A has to call it Sun Glow.
No, it's not Sun Glow.
Yeah.
It's Sun something.
Yeah, Sun Glow.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, we're going to Google it now.
What are we betting?
I'll put a bottle.
All right. Of Larceny. Got it. I'll shake on this.
Let's do this. All right. While I'm looking this information up.
I don't live near a Chick-fil-A, so I'm predisposed to losing this bet.
Where do you live?
I live in Sneed's Ferry. So
they don't have a Chick-fil-A up there?
No. Our closest one is like, well.
No.
We have like.
Do you want to go on a business venture?
Okay, so we've talked about it. Like, no kidding. Like, we have been like, man, this would be the best thing ever. Yeah. Like, opening Chick-fil-A in Sneed's Ferry. But it's super interesting, like, the ins and outs of getting a franchise opened, specifically of Chick-fil-A. Like, they are strict.
I know. Yeah, they look at weird things, too. And
We cuss too much.
Yeah. Well,
not even that.
A lot of businesses are really interesting up in like the Lejeune area because you have to have a certain area median income. And because BAH and BAS don't count for active duty, it doesn't really affect our AMI. So it's this really odd dynamic of non-taxable income that doesn't get taken in, but like really we can afford these things.
Right.
So yeah, I've looked into all kinds of like weird stuff like that. And it's,
that's crazy.
Yeah. So the nearest one, either Jacksonville or Porter's Neck probably would be, but I think they're like equidistant.
Yeah.
So what is it called, Chris? Have you found it?
Yeah. So apparently I owe you a bottle. It's called a Sun Joy.
Boom. I was like, I know it's not Sun Glow.
It had a letter with like a swing on the bottom and an O. That's all I knew.
That's not glow.
Yeah. It's a joy. But I would joyfully love to hear about your backstory. How'd you end up here?
Oh, man. Okay. So I'll try not to take up our entire time for that, but let's go for it. So I have worked my way east as I've gotten older. So I started out, I'm from the Piedmont area. Originally, I lived in Greensboro, like born and lived there till I was 8. And then we moved to Kernersville. So super small town that most people only know if you drive through it on 40. But I grew up there. And then I went to NC State after I graduated from high school.
Go Pack.
So, yeah. Yep. So during my sophomore year of college, I, out of the blue, a friend of mine was like, hey, do you want to join ROTC? And we were eating Taco Bell. I still have this day, remember, we were eating Taco Bell. And I just had knee surgery like a month before that. Like I was like in zero position to do anything military at all. And I was like, I'll try it. Like it's just a class, right? Like I don't have to commit to anything. So joined ROTC, fell in love with it. And then a couple months later, so April of 2010, I enlisted. And let's see. So fast forward a little bit of time, not too much. We went on our first deployment. So for those that don't know that Chris and I know each other from there, he was in my first unit.
Yes.
So got to know Chris there and we went on our first deployment, went to Afghanistan in 2012, came back in 13. And when I came home, I moved to the Lejeune area. So followed a guy. No, he's a great, person. No. He's a great, great person. We just didn't work out, but I'm super thankful that it wound me up on the coast. So moved out here then. And then I've really just stayed out here ever since. Like I moved away once. Tried it and then was like, no, I need to go back. So yeah, I've been here ever since. Went on my second deployment in 2019, came back in 2020. COVID hit when I was in Asia, which is a whole nother level of COVID nonsense.
I can only imagine. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and then I ended up back here after that. And then here I am. So that's the abridged fast track version of like Taco Bell at NC State to like join the army, moved out here. Like here we are. So
I love the TLDR at the end.
Yeah. So
love it because you joined ROTC and enlisted, but you joined the North Carolina National Guard.
Correct. Yeah. So I know that whenever you were interviewed by Tyler, you said just the National Guard, and I still will hold that above your head. I am very proud of the almost, dang, it'll be, five more days, and it'll be 12 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Dadgum. Yeah, you took the quick rat out. But
I was like 6 years, I'm good.
Yeah, it's now at this point, though, like I just signed for six more, so that'll take me to 18.
Yeah.
But I'm in a much easier operations tempo nowadays than I was when I was sleeping in the dirt. And I don't have to do that as much anymore. And it's great.
I mean, so, technically, you could go back to the first
year. No, thank you.
You could, though.
No, thank you.
I'm just saying.
They're great. I just don't want to sleep in the dirt anymore, man. Like, I'm over that.
She's old.
I am, man. Like, I hurt. Like, he talks about his back, and I'm like, okay, but you should have gone to the VA. Like,
my medic at the time did not tell me I should sit through the briefing.
Your medic was 20 years old, and she didn't know what she was talking about. Spoiler alert, I am that medic. My bad.
Oops. So, as the National Guard, we know, for the most part, people do 1 week in a month, which could be anywhere from like 2 to 5 days.
And that's the small text at the bottom. The 5 day, yeah, that's in like invisible ink actually, but it's real. Yes.
And then you have your long one, which is supposedly 2 weeks, but I've seen upwards of a month.
Jeez. Well, our first AT together, when we went to California in 2011, Chris and I were out there. It was dang near a month. So yeah. Wow. 2 weeks in the summer was like not 2 weeks in the summer.
So you go to your like civilian job and you're like, oh, hey, it's just these couple of days and stuff. And then like a month later, like, where the F had these people gone?
Yeah. Yes. Like, I mean, there were times, like, I remember during that period, because I knew we were deploying the following. Mm-hmm. When I started everything up in April. You didn't probably until May or June, but I had all kinds of extra like medical stuff to do.
Yes, but I stopped real work.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I stopped my – like, I had, like, odds and end jobs. Like, I was, like, a hostess at a restaurant. Yeah. I, like, lived with my parents. You can't do anything you can do. But because of me, like, going from one training to another, mm-hmm. like, it just wasn't sustainable. I wasn't going to, like, plant my roots in a career field. Right. Like, I'm going to go to Afghanistan real quick. I'll be right back, guys.
Right.
Like,
hold my spot.
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting. I'm thankful that things have calmed down now so I can mm-hmm. hold a civilian career because, yeah, that ain't it.
So civilian career, what you do there?
Yeah, so I am a mortgage loan processor. I'm super analytical. So you've known mm-hmm. me for a super long time. Like, yeah, so you're, yeah, financial advisor, same, like right
exactly.
there. So I love to find the details and like problem solve and all of that. And so it's a lot of that. So income calculations and just making things work for people, especially in my own community. Like that's a huge thing for me. So Chris just went through, bought his house. I got to help him and Emily through that, which is super cool. It's just, it's one of those things that like for me, it hits home. Like it's a great thing to be able to serve my community in a very intricate way that I'm so detail oriented and I'm like made for that. So it's super cool. Yeah.
You and our last guest should definitely get together and like grab a lunch or something because she's in real estate, part of the Coast Guard and in real estate. So it's kind of made in heaven right there.
Yeah, for sure. That's
and
awesome.
She loves working with people using their VA loans and whatnot too. Yep. So I'm sure you have a like an intricate kind of process for that too, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we do, our branch is out of Jacksonville. So mm-hmm. we primarily do,
I'm sure.
It's so funny. Like when we get a loan that's not VA, I feel like a fish out of water some days because I'm like, wait a second, I don't have to do that piece or I have to do this other piece. And like, you're trying to remember all the guidelines and all of that. And it's, you get in such a one track mind when you do the same thing constantly. Right. So yeah, no, it's super cool.
It's interesting. I was joking the other day too. I was like, you know, this podcast is all about teachers. And then literally it was like light switch. Nope. It's a veterans podcast.
Yep.
I love that.
Instantly.
No, that's super cool. This area is like Wilmington's a pretty cool area. Cause like you have all these like hidden veterans. Like they're not active duty folks. Like, yeah, you example, like you're also like from here. Like you,
people look at me like, oh, you were a veteran. I'm like, yeah, I just don't talk about it.
That's fair. Yeah.
Another thing too, and I'll give a plug for one of our neighbors right down the road here. Signal Fire is another podcast, mm-hmm. all run by veterans.
Cool.
And the guests that they have on are pretty awesome too. So people can listen to more podcasts than one. Yeah. So go check out Signal Fire.
Very cool. Yeah, I was actually just plugging you guys earlier. I was down at the Azalea Festival, and this guy, I went to go pick up a piece of art that I saw yesterday. Had to convince myself that I was ready to spend that kind of money. Absolutely worth it. But I was like, am I ready to spend this?
Yeah, I understand.
And Chris's wife, Emily, kept being like, no, yeah, you love it. Like, it's great. You should do it. And I'm like, okay, well, here, we're doing this. So my boyfriend dropped me off. I like ran up the hill, went and paid this guy. And he was like, wait, so you're in a hurry to get back? Because wait, you're going to be at a podcast? Yes. So I was telling you guys or telling him about you guys. So
see, I'm always about expanding our brand.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like people still, like I guess we could niche down, but.
Hey, but like Whiskey and Wisdom, like that's, you never know the nuggets you're going to find in that.
Exactly. It's the wisdom part that we're looking for. So like the first few was like all small business owners and then it went into like education and now it seems like it's like veterans. We don't even try it. No. It just happens.
No, I love it. I love it. No,
it's a awesome. Monthly theme.
Yeah, no,
I don't want to hold myself to that, but.
I think it's also, it keeps you guys, like, super interested, too, because I think that's super important that you're meeting new people. Like, it's so funny. I remember the first few episodes of the podcast, I hadn't yet looked at the bio on Spotify.
Yeah.
And then I kept thinking that you were saying Tyler Yall, like Y-A-L-L.
Yep.
And then I realized that your last name is Yall. And I was like, oh, it makes more sense now. And right. So it's just funny that, like, even after listening to weeks of the podcast, like, I still pick up, you know, silly little about you guys even. Right, like, I pick up new things and it's cool.
The one thing that when it gets brought up in the podcast that I mentioned too is the main reason why we decided to start this podcast is it was an excuse to get people into a situation where we can just kind of hang out and talk and meet new people. Because I know for me, like, time is crazy to find these days. I have a second child on the way and everything. So being able to, like, set out some time to, like, meet new people and sit down and have a real conversation with them and have a glass of whiskey, which just never hurts,
right,
was really my main goal. So just to be able to sit down and hang out with people and see what they're up to.
No, I love it. I don't know if you saw, I like plugged you guys on Facebook the other day. Oh, awesome. And my buddy was like, I love whiskey and I always need more wisdom. And I was like, see, there we go. Boom.
Well, and it was funny too, because we go back and forth and we're always trying new whiskey. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Tyler the other day and I'm like, you know, we have yet to have the, like, the staples for anybody. Like, I have yet to have, like, the Four Horsemen on here. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of crazy. Do you know what the Four Horsemen are?
I could probably use deductive logic, but
isn't Four Horsemen, isn't that four different drinks?
No, it's one drink with multiple alcohols in it.
Yeah, but, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not all whiskeys.
I don't know.
Isn't there tequila in there? I could be totally wrong. Some bartender friend is going to listen to this and they're going to be like, you're an idiot.
But, like, I know it's Jack and Jim. I always joke because of the song.
But Jose, I think, is in there. I really do think that I could be totally. Watch me be like.
What you got for me, T?
Is it going to be like the reverse of the bet where I won from Chick-fil-A a little bit ago? Like,
oh my gosh. That's just interesting to think that, like, we've gone on here and we've talked about whiskey and we're introducing people to whiskey that's not just the run of the mill. Like, oh, hey, I got Crown or I got, like, Jim Beam or Jack. And I'm like, it's really cool. It's just different.
Okay, so I got it now. Right. So the Four Horsemen drink is four different whiskeys. Oh, so shoot, that was wrong. One part Jim Beam, one part Jameson, one part Jack Daniels, and one part Johnny Walker.
I don't know how I miss Johnny Walker. Like, I got Blue Label at the house and I just forget about it.
I knew they were all J's. So, so I brought Jose into it, apparently.
What's really neat, though, is that one of them is a bourbon, mm-hmm. one is an Irish whiskey, one is a Scotch, and the other one is a Tennessee whiskey.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you. But you got to think, so education for everybody, typical whiskeys and bourbons that we drink here, bourbon has to come from Kentucky and it has to be, it's mostly corn, right?
So there's different definitions that people use for Kentucky bourbon. Things. Yeah. Mm. So there's some people that say it needs to be from Kentucky. The least strict is that it has to be primarily made from corn. Yeah. Sure. The more strict is saying that it needs to be from Kentucky.
But they're all aged differently. So it gives it, if you think mm-hmm. of the Four Horsemen, they're all aged. They have different types of wisdom, like us. Because technically, because Scotch typically has a longer age.
Typically.
Like, I have a Glenfiddich, which we will bring on here sooner than later. That's legal to drink. And most of the other stuff we have, I think the oldest we had was like 9 years. But for the most part, a minimum is 2 years.
Yeah.
It's always interesting because a lot of places too, my dad's big into bourbon, but he's taught me a lot about how a lot of the companies are actually the same. Like, I didn't know that. So, like, they share rickhouses and everything. And so, like, Buffalo Trace and Blanton's, same property. Like, Pappy's. Like,
and all, Eagle Rare.
Yeah. That's the other. That. Yeah. Which is interesting because you, like, the rarity of them is not, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's a facade or if it's just, like,
I think it'd be more so how the bourbons are treated is differently. So it kind of, like, drops a different name. For, like, similarly, like, what is it, Blackwater, owns like a high percentage of a fuck ton of shit. but no one talks about it. But yet they have their fingers in. Like, I work in the watch industry, and like,
yeah,
watches, Swatch Group, which I laugh at anytime someone says Swatch because I think of the bright color Swatch watches. Mm-hmm. Swatch Group owns like a quarter of the watch, Swiss watch industry.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And no then you one, have LVMH no. that owns pretty much all of the like fine anything industry, fine watches, fine jewelry, fine handbags.
That man is a savage.
Yeah, you know what? Good for him. He figured it out. No,
I'm,
no,
he just goes in and buys things on pennies on the dollar.
I mean, okay, well, like, that aside, but like the business, if you can figure it out, like, good on you.
Yeah.
Like,
no, what's incredible is that they can run that many brands under one label.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
No, LVMH.
And would. Folks not know.
Yeah.
Like, until you do research. No, you got to research to really know that stuff. Like,
yeah, no one knows that their whatever is owned by LVMH, especially for how often that they're buying and selling their brands.
Yeah. LVMH is buying up everything. But he is a savage, for real, though. Like, he legitimately, I remember looking at something. He was like, you know, I want to buy this brand. And they're like, nope, you can't do it. So what did he do? He bought stock options.
Yeah.
And he just made sure that he slowly let his other businesses buy stock options. And then he said, ha ha, and sold those to himself.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I'm a majority shareholder. I'm like, damn.
You know what? Like, I ain't mad about it.
I know. I think it's pretty fantastic. I mean,
if I don't know that it had
that much, but
it's probably not like the purest of intentions, but he figured out, he gamed the game.
He beat the system.
He gamed the game.
Makes me think of Elon Musk buying 9.2% of Twitter, which is hilarious.
How much of Twitter?
9.2%.
And that put him on the board?
So, that there was a, yeah, there's some supposed stories behind that. But the other reason, too, is I'm pretty sure this is complete speculation for anyone listening with the information that I know, is I'm pretty sure Twitter was trying to stop Elon Musk from owning more of the company. Mm. Because if you get put on the board, you cannot own more than 15% of the company. You can't buy your way into more than 15% of the company. So it stops him at that point, unless you were like a Jack Dorsey type of figure that like you had that because you made it. You could be on the board, but you can't buy your way to that point. So that's my speculation, is that Twitter was like, you're going to need to stop buying so much Twitter stock. How about you join the board?
I mean, I just don't follow a lot of that stuff. I stay pretty willfully ignorant just because there's too much involved in it. And I get confused and lost.
Even when, especially in that world, even the more you know, the less you realize you know.
Oh, sure. Like, I dabble with Robinhood, but like only because some guys on my last deployment were like, hey, we get this free stock and you get a free stock if we both do this. Right. Like, all right. Like, yeah, I was like, whatever, man, I'll dump a little bit of like deployment money. You're not spending any money way over there. So I was like, whatever, let's do this thing.
I spent a shit ton of money on deployment.
Okay. Well, you also had like video game setups and all the things. I'm like, when do you have time to play this? You didn't sleep. Like, that was your solution.
True.
But you also were the only person that had a shared room. Like, bless your heart.
No. I had a shared room at the beginning.
Then I got my own room. The first half. Yeah.
Tell me, this is the major BS. Because, mind you, I was one of the older people in the unit, but I just hated running. I didn't pass PT. So I end up technically the lowest ranking person and had to split a room.
Now we were together. We were both PFCs at the time. Yes.
So
I just had more clout, I guess, because my job was important or something. I don't know.
Deployment started. I was a
oh, you were a PV2. Private.
I was a PV2 when we started the
job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
And then I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'll pass a PT test. And I failed it. Of course.
Do you remember that one that I took where all the Afghans were playing soccer in the middle of the court and they were staring at me running around? Yes. I was like, this is really weird right now, guys. Like,
we took a PT test legitimately middle of Afghanistan in a base. quote unquote,
like an Afghan base with an American compound, combined.
And so we had to run laps around this thing. Well, in the middle of it, they're like, well, we want to do soccer. So they started playing soccer in the middle of our PT test. And she's just
like, they weren't playing soccer before the female came out. And I was like, I feel like this is not ironic. Like,
and I'm like, I kept pace with her, but
yeah, you
know, that's a different story. I was not fast enough to pass my PC test, but she did.
I did, and I got promoted. Man, that was, you know, my promotion went effective December 1st of 2012. Why do I remember that?
Because
that was near 10 years ago.
Because I didn't pass my PC test till we went to a different base, and I got my ass handed to me. Running through smoke of trucks running around.
Oh, yeah. No, I just had the randos playing soccer.
But I definitely went back to back. I was like, let's get that promo.
Yeah. No, remember the grass was so green there. It's like the silliest things I remember about Afghanistan. Like, it was such a vegetative place.
Yes.
And it was the first place. I grew up super, super sheltered. I don't know if it was like self-sheltered or my parents did it. Like, I'm really not sure. But I had never seen weed. Like, at all. And we saw marijuana plants. And everybody was oh, look at that, guys. And I was like, it's green. And, like, I didn't know that it was marijuana. Like, I had no clue. And it was at that police station, remember?
Yes. And it was the stupidest. More hilarious. Like, yes. Legitimately. So, I don't know if anyone knows this, but male weed plants were pot plants. I don't know what you call it.
Oh, yeah, because, like, the separation of, like, hemp and I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
But that was literally growing outside of the police station. She got lucky enough to get out the truck and just wander around and walk past it. And I'm literally sitting in the top of the truck just like.
Like, I didn't even know what, because he was a gunner. Like, he was always in the truck. Like, there was no option for him to ever get out. And I'm over here, like, climbing mountains and such. And he's like, right, I'm here in my circle. I'm just going to keep spinning. Right.
I'm like, that looks like weed, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it totally was. And I've never seen it since. Like, it's so funny. Like, I willfully stay ignorant nowadays with stuff like that. I don't want to be exposed to it. I'm such a goody two shoes. Like to follow rules, but yeah, it's super fun. Except I steal bottles of bourbon from my friends, I guess. But tactfully acquired. Yes, I didn't steal anything.
The only thing the government cares about is that it was
paid for.
It was paid for and had taxes on the first time.
Absolutely. But thanks, Darren. Appreciate you. Like. We did tell him, for what it's worth. Like, we took pictures with the bottle and everything. We're like, hey, man, here you go. Yes. But
that was the crazy thing. Like, Afghanistan, the height of the pot plant was literally taller than the...
Like, the fence. It was super tall.
The wall. And I mean...
Wow.
I'm sitting on top of a truck 8 feet up in the air, and I'm looking eye to eye.
You were way more than 8 feet. You think an MRAP? Like, you were way up there.
Yeah.
Even still, though, like, yeah, it was, like, above that.
That's just crazy. Eye to eye. And I'm like, that looks like some pot.
Your mother's going to listen to this. Don't you dare.
I didn't do any of it. I was a good kid.
I didn't reach out and pick it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. You didn't. Tossing candy to kids and stuff from the turret. Like, yeah.
Tossing candy.
I mean.
Whip.
No way. You should. I'm telling you, I'm such a nice person. I just wanted to, like, love on all the kids. Mm. I did see a child the other day that genetics-wise, like, they must have been super similar to that area of the world because it's a unique color of red hair. You'll remember this.
Yes,
it's really. Like, I can't explain it. Like, there is something about that part of the Middle East that this red hair, it's not like we're, like, folks it's that we would know here. Red. Yeah, like, it's like it looks like henna, I think is maybe the best way to think of it.
Really?
And, but it's a naturally, like, occurring hair color. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I saw a kid yesterday and I was like, oh, it's beautiful. I haven't seen it in so long. Like, it's just so unique that it stands out in your memory.
Yeah.
That, and I have such a photographic memory. Like, I can't even remember how to, like, get home from here for goodness sake. And, like, I'm 45 minutes from the house and I'm like, GPS, please.
Let's be real. Why was their hair so unique? Just kidding. We're not going to talk about that.
You are hot. No.
I mean, we do have forces in places we probably shouldn't be at the moment. But going back, because you're still a National Guard.
I am.
You're still a medic.
I am. I'm now an instructor. Well, I don't have the skill identifier yet, but it's in the works. It's a whole long thing. Yeah. But I'm an instructor billet. Let's call it what it is. Okay. But I'm an instructor of the academy now in Fort Bragg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I teach folks that are prior service that are coming to be medics and then medical sustainment. And then we do some odd jobs like here and there, like a CLS, so combat lifesaver for those that don't know. And then CPR classes, stuff like that. But my favorite is medical sustainment because guys that have been medics every 2 years, there's a new course that started a few years ago now where folks will go through and they'll just freshen up on all of their skills so that you don't have this like super stale knowledge that sits there for an eternity, which is how things were when I first came in. Folks just, they never got updates and they never knew what was happening in medicine.
Wow.
They would find out like a month before a deployment. And I'm like, that's not, you can't retain that kind of knowledge.
Not the safest thing to.
Yeah. So I'm super thankful that like sustainment and training and all of that is becoming a much higher priority in the Army as a whole. Well, and the DOD as a whole for that matter. Yep. It's not just us. But everybody is really focusing on like evidence-based medicine and getting those updates and seeing what's working now, changing protocols, all that. And I'm like, I'm all about it. And I get to be at the like the front of the spear of that now. So
that's neat.
It's so cool.
Which is does always.
That,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, does that keep you more stateside then? So if like shit would hit the fan, you're pretty much going to stay here.
Do you want the bitter side of that? Or do you want me to be like,
I want the brute honesty of it.
Just give it to us.
It's been a funny thing lately. So the type of unit that I'm in now is non-deployable. So academies and like training settings are non-deployable units, which means that I'm not bonus eligible. So when I just re-enlisted for 6 more years and was not bonus eligible.
Oh, that's disappointing.
But I, as a person, am still deployable. Let me make that known real quick.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's the catch to it, right? So my unit can't up and go somewhere. But when another unit up and goes somewhere and they need a person, I'm still good. Like, I'm like, that's not cool, guys. Like,
that's not how this should work.
Yes.
She was salty as popcorn.
Oh, like,
I'm sure.
Man, that was like, I mean, compared to other bonuses, like the other people in the DOD get, maybe not that cool, but like, man, 10 grand is still 10 grand that I didn't get. Not happy
for
about
the ability to still do the same thing that the people that did get the bonus was.
Sure. But let me tell you, like, as crazy as it sounds, and like people might think this is just like a smoke, whatever, but like, I genuinely mean like me getting to teach, man, that's my element.
Yeah.
I love teaching people. And I love that light bulb moment when it finally clicks and they're like, oh, this is real. Like, this is how that works.
Yeah.
And even if it's one student, like I can have 30 people in front of me. I made this balloon model recently that shows like the negative pressure of the diaphragm on and like how the diaphragm works and how the lungs inflate because of the contraction and relaxation of the muscles.
Oh, wow.
Not to like go into the weeds of that, but I made this and it's super elementary. It's literally a Coke bottle and some balloons. Like, it's not any, and some straws, not anything crazy, but I made that. And I saw these students, like people that have been in the Army for a decade, that were like, oh, it's one thing to like understand a concept, but it's another to see it in front of you and to be like, oh, it clicks. And that's where, man, that's where my passion is. I love that's it so neat, much. Yeah. So I remember telling somebody, because they're like, oh, is this a deal breaker that you can't get this bonus? Like, do you need to transfer back to a different unit? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, honestly, like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yep.
Like, that's this is it for me. So yeah, it cost me 10 grand, but hey, hopefully it saves lives down the road. And that's what matters to me.
That's what's really neat to me too, is, and one of the reasons why I like talking to people just in general is seeing passion that is worth more than the monetary value.
Heck yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. I taught as a contractor for a while and like, there's nothing in my mind that replaces that. Just that light bulb moment and students getting it.
So you can be technically enlisted and be a contractor at the same time?
So I was still enlisted in the National Guard. So I still did my supposed 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer that we have previously learned is not real. But I did
it's
my...
It's more, not less for the people listening.
Absolutely.
So I don't want people thinking like, oh, it's not actually that much. And then they get in and they're like, this is four times as much as I thought.
Also, I'm not a recruiter. So like, for all those recruiters out there, like, sorry about your luck. I just spoiled the whole thing for you. But so you can do that. And then me as a contractor, I was a contractor for my civilian job. Think of it like that. Okay. So I wore like cargo pants and plaid button downs every day and was like living my best life. So I was one of very few females too where I was, which is kind of cool. My friend always jokes that he's like, I don't know if you're going to be able to like kind of get your clout here. Like, are you going to be able to get that buy-in? Are you going to be here? Mm. And I remember when I like felt like I had finally earned my place as a female in that world, like working in the special operations world, man, that was like, because at the end of the day, like medicine is medicine. And if I can help you save your friend, like your friend is alive because of a thing I taught you, man, you better get your ego out of the way and like just learn from me. And I'm so all about it. Yeah.
On a low key point, she did teach me that if I
let's see,
I remember I showed up in Afghanistan and I was like, I'm going to buy tampons. And I told
No, that doesn't work. I did not teach you that. Do not.
It doesn't work.
It does not work.
Educate me.
Okay, so
I know it's better wrong because I was in different mixed martial arts, so tampons were like regularly part of sure. and multiple other different things that could happen in a fight, but
nosebleeds maybe like got you, but here's the problem, right? And like if you're going to put something into a wound, I need it to fill that whole void. And a tampon's not going to do it. So like, I can show you a video. Like I can probably like find a way to link it and like throw it in the, in the show notes. That way, like I can spread evidence-based medicine in, you know, the world of Whiskey and Wisdom. Cool. Yeah. So I'll do that. It. But no, there were other folks and I know who it was and I'm not going to dime him out because I love him dearly. However, there was a guy who had previously deployed and like he had been taught that, but never put it into practice. So for what it's worth, no, that's not a real thing. Take that out of your brain. Like tourniquets and pressure and, you know, packing void to the fullest so you can really get pressure on the actual point of the bleed. That's the answer. But no, tourniquets or tampons are not the answer.
I mean, I still keep a tourniquet and I have a seatbelt cutter in my car.
Hey, there you go. See, those are both valuable pieces that I will stand behind always.
Does it matter? Like, this is pure ignorance on my part.
No, let's hear it. No, I want to teach you.
Yeah. So like, I understand being out in the like field that you're probably not going to get shot by like a 9mm. Right. So like, would that make a difference if you got shot by like different caliber rounds, if a tampon could work or not?
So the problem with tampons, and like, this is regardless of size of caliber and size of like the cavitation of the wound, it's not a one size fits all thing. So, and the problem is too, when that becomes fully saturated, like, is it still putting pressure? Because you think like, if I've severed a vessel of any kind, be it an artery or vein, like if I've severed that, is there pressure on that, like now severed tube that runs through your body and pulls blood, right? So like, is there something pushing on that, stopping that off or not? And that's what you have to answer. And if it's not, then it's not going to solve the problem. So I think the easiest thing to say is, let's go no with the tampons. Just carry tourniquets.
Right, yeah. I love this, though. Like, education is elevation.
Heck yeah. Like, there's my wisdom. I didn't even know. I, like, came in today, and I was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to drop. Like, what knowledge bombs am I going to, like, bring in today?
You got that one right there?
Yeah, there we go.
There was another podcast I was listening to, and it was a guy. I won't go into the controversial reason why he was talking about it. But but he had gotten shot in the leg, and he was saying that the tourniquet is what saved him, but the tourniquet was also what hurt more than the gunshot wound.
Oh, for sure.
Even in training, man, those things, because we always train, like, I hate whenever I see a student start up and be like, oh, I'm just going to tighten it one time. And I'm like, no, man. Like, because it's not like, I've always, a friend of mine taught me this. I won't even take credit for it. So it's not that practice builds perfect. It's practice builds permanence. And so whatever you do in training is what you're going to do in real life.
Yeah.
So yeah, those things are going to hurt, but by all means, like,
I will always remember that ish. Like, you spin it.
You're welcome.
Yes. You spin it until you stop the blood flow and you're like, oh, okay.
Because that's the whole goal. Like, think if you're bleeding out, I don't want you to keep bleeding to that part of your body.
Good point.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. So I'm very glad that I'm, you know, implanting some wisdom in the world that don't use tampons and carry tourniquets, I guess.
She also scarred me for life.
Oh, geez, what did I do?
We went through CLS overseas, and they were like, okay, look, this is the powder you can pour on a blood vessel, like if it's bleeding, and it'll stop the coagulation. And I will always remember this because, you know.
Did training, we still use that back then?
Yeah. 2012.
I know it's been a while. So I'll update you, but please continue.
I'm ready for this update.
Well, before, it proves a point to what you were saying, too, yes. that people had all that stale information. And yes. if it wasn't up until this point, they'd still be thinking that what Chris is saying.
Who's powder.
Been, yeah, yes. he's been out of.
There was a powder a that the doc would carry and it'd be like, oh, wait, pour this on the area that's constantly pumping blood. And I'm like, what the f-? And I'm just like, that's a lot of blood. I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to let the doc deal with it. I will just make sure to drop a tourniquet and go. But yes, this powder mess. Mm.
Yeah, so that's like super old stuff. Long story short, so it the whole intention was it like it had an exothermic reaction, so it was like cauterizing the whole like oh. it was. But also like when you're thinking about medevacs and you're thinking about folks coming in and like an aircraft makes a lot of wind, so yeah. Powder and wind don't really go well together.
Nope.
So no, we have an item I guess that we use now. That's made by the same folks, but it's a non-exothermic. It's kaolin is the name of the stuff that's impregnated into a gauze that you pack into the wound rather than pouring
anything.
Well,
that sounds so much smarter.
Yeah. And it's all, it also has this like really nifty like x-ray like strip through it. So whenever you do x-ray, you can see if it's in there.
Oh, shit.
So wow. like if you like packed four of them into a large wound, like you would be able to see.
All four.
Well, no, you would just know that something was still in there.
Right.
That you hadn't removed everything out of there, okay. which four is not necessary, but that's a whole nother. If we're going to go like all the way down into like all my medical knowledge, we're going to need like Joe Rogan kind of time. Right.
We're not there yet.
No, we're not. Right, but yeah. For one day, right? I'll just bring more. We'll just, man, we could like sip and talk in medicine because I tell you, like as much as it's a part-time position of my life, if you will, to the outside. But man, the guard, the army as a whole has been such a huge piece of it. It's what grew me up, I guess you could say. Like I said, I had never even seen a pot plant. When I tell you I was sheltered, like all the way sheltered. So the army, like in a good way, like and in a guided way, broke me out of that shell and exposed me to the world. Like I would have never traveled, like I would have never been to Moldova, which most people don't even know where that is.
Mm-hmm. I still don't know where that is. And I got a world on my arm.
It's between Ukraine and Romania, which with current news, like that's even more.
That's the only reason why I know where it's at is because I've been looking at the map and trying to be semi-educated about like what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I was the NCOIC, so non-commissioned officer in charge. So I like led a mission to Moldova and I've been back on another mission. So I've been there. We have a partnership. The North Carolina National Guard has a partnership with their army, which is pretty cool.
Interesting.
Right. I never knew that when I was your like army age, if you will, like I never knew that was a thing. And we have two partnerships with Moldova and Botswana. But I've never been to Botswana, but Moldova like has a very soft spot in my heart, like training them. So I taught them the same things through a translator, which is even, it's one thing to teach you like how to do a thing, but like why you do the thing is really hard to work through a translator because it's not like a real entire translator. It's like some rando. He literally told me, he's like, I was like, how did you learn so much English? He was like, oh, I just watch a lot of movies. Like he was like in their army.
But that's like the guys who literally.
Whatever works.
They're like, oh, I know Spanish because I grew up in like SoCal and all I watched was like telenovelas. And I'm like, bruh, that is not Spanish.
But he could translate for me.
True.
I think.
Chris and I know someone who was, who said they primarily learned English through watching Friends. So.
Hey, but like, it's crazy. I've never learned another language other than like to pass classes in schools. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that type, I will tell you, like being immersed in a language, like when we were in Afghanistan and I was like, hanging out with the Terps and like spending time trying to work and like teach the Afghan uniform police that we worked with. There were times where like I would actually catch myself like understanding more of what they would say. Mm-hmm. So I think immersion is definitely the way.
Yeah.
100%.
But watching movies and watching Friends, like, I mean, good on you, man. Like you found the cheaper route than buying,
right.
What is it? Rosetta Stone or whatever. Yes. Yeah. So like, whatever, man, like good on you. I just hope that the medicine stuck with them. That's all I can hope for.
I mean,
when I was growing up, I went through a Spanish immersion thing through kindergarten until high school, essentially. And so they like kind of teach you things and like, kindergarten and a little bit in first grade, and yeah. you get to second grade, and they're like, figure it out. We're going to talk to you in Spanish the whole entire day. And we're like, huh? So you'd have to ask your, if you didn't know what something was, you'd have to ask in Spanish what that word was. Or if you were trying to, if you're trying to say a word, you would have to describe it in all of the Spanish words that you knew to try to say, like, what is this one thing? Like, if I was trying to say, like, what are these sound stopping things on the wall?
Sure.
Instead of saying foam, you would say, what are these sound stopping things on the wall?
Instead like of saying, they are black, they are square, they are, yes. Right. I'd be like, ¿cómo se dice?
Yeah.
Like,
and they'd be like, try harder. And I'm like, oh.
But if they say try harder in Spanish?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even better. Because I'd be like, I don't know what you mean.
Right. At that point, you had a pretty good understanding.
Sure, because you've been like in it for yeah. so long. Yeah.
I just imagine Tyler playing like COD and just being like, try harder in Spanish.
Bro, I'll tell you what, though. So since I graduated college, because this is the last time I ever experienced like Spanish in a like education yeah. world.
Sure.
And I was on, and there was a bunch of, I was on a team playing COD, and they were speaking French. And okay. I was like, ooh. I can it's kind of, enough. I'm like, I can kind of yeah. understand you. And the only thing I knew is most French people, since they're right next to Spain, know Spanish. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was like, you know what? Worth a shot. Let me ask them if they know Spanish. And sure enough, they did.
And they flipped.
Yep.
Yeah. So these French people were talking in Spanish, and me, knowing a little bit of Spanish, we're talking to them. So we like piecemeal this thing together, and we actually won the battle.
You got so lucky.
Yeah.
Because we're talking that.
Like there's a difference between educational Spanish and true Spanish of Spaniards, and then like Hispanic.
And like South America. Yes. Like, yeah, that's hugely different.
Yeah. The one thing that saved my ass is most of the teachers I had were from different countries from around the world.
Oh, so
I have like some dialects. Like if I try to speak like Spain, like Spanish to like Mexicans, the Mexicans are like, you sound like an idiot. And I'm like, yes, I'm well aware. Leave me alone. And then there's some words that you have to remember in your head. Like, the word for cupcake in Spanish, depending on what country you live in, completely different things. One is like the female anatomy.
Oh.
So
if you say them in the wrong place, like you're...
They'll smack the shit out of you, I'm sure.
Maybe in a bakery they're used to it. You could try it that way.
I'd rather not try it at all.
Fair enough. I'm like...
Here's my wisdom for the day.
I still try to like pronounce things on a menu correctly. And like, I could just be that person that like, but I feel like I owe them the respect to try. And I'm like, I sound like an idiot.
Nope. I want an ACP.
No, they really respect like most people that are like from that country. Just sure. You trying means a lot to them. So like my grammar, because I was never... I learned a lot of Spanish, but my grammar in Spanish was never good, and I don't claim it to be. So I tell them right away, like, hey, I'll speak to you. I'll try my best, but I'm going to sound like a third grader. And just me trying, like, means a lot to anyone from any of the Spanish-speaking countries. So, like, just thank you so much for trying to speak our language, especially being an American, because yes. most Americans are like, you can try to understand me or just F it. So,
yeah, I still remember when I was in Moldova, speaking of, and like, my heart goes out to them. So any of my friends, if you hear this, but so I remember I would go to the grocery store and I was working on Duolingo. Yeah. No, like it's a whole different world of like, I'm not even calling it deployment. It was like a training mission, whatever. but I would go to the grocery store and I knew Garza was Moldovan. They speak mostly Romanian, but there's like some dialect like pieces that come in. So, but Garza is cabbage. And watch me be wrong about that. I'm really positive it's right. So, but I would go in and I would order this, like, imagine like a croissant based hot pocket filled with cabbage. It was
croissant.
It was so good.
Good.
They don't call it croissant. I'm just trying to explain it. I love cabbage, though. So I would order this at the bakery and part of the grocery store or whatever. And this old lady, she knew, like, she would wait for me to say it, though, because she knew I was getting the same thing every day. Like, I wanted my little ginger ale. They have mojito ginger ales. They are the best things. And they're, like, non-alcoholic. They're super good. But I would get one of those and one of these, like, cabbage Hot Pockets, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I would get one of those every day for lunch. And it was like the best thing. But she appreciated so much that I was in there like trying to learn. Yeah. And even just like saying the word cabbage, she was like, oh, yeah, like here's this American. But like, you know what I'm trying? And I would say thank you and like things like that. So I get that. It's cool.
I just laugh because you say cabbage. And we discussed this on last week's episode. I am a geek. And so
understatement
when you say that's true, you say cabbage and my head goes to Avatar The Last Airbender and there was the cabbage guy. And I know neither of you understand this reference.
Nope.
But I just laugh. Like if you ask questions, this is why I'm laughing. It's because you say cabbage and I'm like, I want to know what this is in another language, because I just remember watching the cabbage guy getting his cart just destroyed every time Aang would like, no, it's Aang, by the way. It's not Aang. Anyways.
Tyler and I are both super confused.
Yeah. So for those we're like that staring can't see at each other.
Our
like,
facial expressions are priceless right now.
Yes. It only makes sense to the people.
I apologize to the listeners.
It only makes sense to the people who unfortunately watched the live action M. Night Shyamalan movie, which point number two is why did you watch an M. Night Shyamalan movie? But the cabbage guy, literally, like every time Aang would hit the city, would just get his cart destroyed. And that's what I thought of when you said the cabbage.
Well, now you know another language. You're welcome. Look at all this wisdom.
Wait. You did not tell us what the word is in.
I did. Does Tyler remember?
What is it?
Is it Garza?
There you go. See, I taught you. He was here for it. I don't know where you were.
When you said Garza,
he was thinking about the airbender. No, no, no. Over there.
I thought Garza was the language. Like, oh, hey, it's not Romanian.
No, it's like Moldovan, which is Romanian with like a twist.
Oh.
But like, they also like half speak Russian. It's a whole confusing thing.
Меня зовут.
What?
We're taking a few steps back just because there was something you mentioned and I just wanted to say it out loud. You're talking about the like ginger ale type of.
The mojito ginger ale.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yes.
So that made me think of there's a place that we're right next to. It's called Blue Cup Roastery.
Okay.
And it's a coffee shop. Mm. They have this coffee thing that's like a mojito with that ginger beer in it. And there's like a shot of espresso in it. Oh my God.
That isn't
it is
like
fantastic. It sounds weird, but it was on their like specials for spring. And I was like, that's interesting, but I'm always about something interesting.
Sure.
So I tried it and it's pretty amazing. So highly suggested.
I'm still curious.
To try it out.
Will it be here for summer?
I would hope so. Like mojitos are like super
I was
summer.
Say, yeah. So hopefully they continue it for the summer one, but they'll make it anytime for you. It's just a special now.
Nice. But Blue Cup is a nice like local place that you can get coffee.
I go out of my way every single morning to get a Blue Cup.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
I mean,
I love like small town. We have a couple like really good ones. One of my favorites just moved. So Sundial. Little plug for my Surf City folks. But they just moved into a new area and their new place. Like everywhere they go, like just the owner, her name is Bridget. Like everywhere she goes is just welcoming and inviting. And like, she just warms my heart. I love her dearly. So
an extra plug for Sundial is Brittany Limeberry. We've talked about her for the past like four podcasts.
I love Brittany.
Brittany just put her photography inside of that.
No way. Sundial, I didn't know that.
Yes. New one. Yeah.
Brittany did our family Christmas photos.
No way. That's awesome. What a small
so Brittany and I work out together. Yep. So I know her from that's where we first met, but like she was his realtor. I was his lender. So like, it was kind of like the pinnacle of like everything surrounded around Chris. Let your ego get too big on that. But
I do this thing where you like support your friends.
No, I'm about it. No, it was super cool because like a lot of folks have a very like dedicated lender, and it was super cool to work with Brittany, just like knowing her as a friend and like as a person at the gym, because we don't regularly work together.
Yeah.
So that was a super cool like connection to be able to like That's link neat. Up. Yeah. So
it always makes me laugh because people are like, because we're capitalistic, you want to save as much money as possible. But I'm in that other side of capitalism. Well, I guess it's the middle where you support your friends. So I have friends, and as long as they're not like the worst person possible in that industry.
Oh, I was like, they wouldn't be your friend if they're the worst person. Right. Just kidding. I mean,
but in the industry, like, I got a friend who does cupcakes, and I'm like, yo, bro, let me get some of those.
Holloway?
Yes.
Boom. Oh my gosh. If you haven't seen these cupcakes, like, we're driving to Raleigh, we're getting cupcakes.
He delivers. Like, he can mail them to you, but I just...
Nah, man, I'm going to... I want to see him.
Please.
He's a buddy that we deployed with our first, that, yeah, and they're like, and he's, like, all about baking, and it's super cool. Yeah.
Eventually, we'll get him on here.
Kind of what you were saying, too. You're saying, like, helping out friends, but I think that's a thing that most people are our age are kind of more looking towards now, is just kind of supporting local and supporting the people around you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I love, it's like these, like me going and buying this door that a painter, like an artist in Emerald Isle painted for me. Like, well, not for me, but I mean, I guess it was for me. She said no, it was for me at the time. But
the artist that we had on a couple weeks ago said the exact same thing, that he goes, if I create something that I just made because I saw something one time and someone truly connects with it, he goes, it's no longer my piece, it's theirs.
Yep. And that was like the thing with this. So like this guy reclaimed a bunch of doors from a hotel in Pittsburgh, I'm a Pens fan, I'm a Pirates fan, I'm a Steelers fan. Like, love Pittsburgh. And it's so funny because people are like, my brother moved up there years ago and walked by Heinz Field and I remember being like, man, I just really love college sports, but I'm missing out on a whole day of the week to watch football. And that's when I decided to be a Steelers fan.
Go Ravens.
Okay, Dustin can.
So it's been a rough couple of years for you then.
Look, like, I was deployed for one of them. Like, I follow when I'm here. I'm not going to, like, be heartbroken. I'm not. But if somebody's like, yo, who's your team about it? So for what it's worth.
But kind of what you were saying, too, is I was telling this to my family and then my wife as well, is like, I'm blessed enough where I don't need to go for the cheapest option all the time. Heck, like, it's like, I make enough money, I can support my friends that charge a few extra bucks.
Yes.
Like,
I was there picking up that door today and it's a huge octopus, like painted on an entire door. It's super neat. Pretty.
I'm excited to see this.
Heck yeah. It's awesome. So, but I was there picking it up and a guy, he had one door left. And he had brought 9 to the Isaiah Festival, and there was one left. And so the guy walks up, and he, like, dang near half what they were charging. And he was like, hey, will you take half if I pay in cash? And I'm standing there like, yo, bro, I went and got cash. So, like, I hope you say no to this. But
so pissed.
But no, so his wife is the artist, and he, like, reclaims all the wood. And he was like, absolutely not. And I was talking to him after, and it was super cool because he was like, look, like, you can't do this. I can't do this. My wife is amazing. Like, look at these pieces. And she's like, if it's not for you, it's for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly it. And, like, this octopus was, like, just meant to be. It was super cool. So I can't wait once I finally have a dining room table. It's a whole ordeal with, I just built a house as well. And
yeah,
one day I'll have all my furniture that I ordered in September.
Sounds about right.
9 months later. Yeah, for sure.
I'm just excited. But in general, like you said, supporting your friends, no matter, I mean, obviously, if they're going to charge you double, right, like someone else you know is going to do. But I think, like, in my industry, I always support people whom I've worked with. Like, we bought our furniture from the guy who came into the store and bought something from me. And I'm like, was it the cheapest option?
Sure.
No, but I'm going to support you. Because if I come in and I support a friend, and you're going to come back and shop with me, like, it's a circle. Like, we talked with KBR, just completing the circle, whether or not it be accepting someone's, you know, gratitude and giving you something, or just completing the circle of like, hey, you bought something for me, I'm going to buy something for you. I feel like that's a good thing in general to have in your life, is to have that full circle moment with pretty much the people you can do that with.
Heck yeah. No, I'm about it. Like, I think that that's why I value so much what I do in my everyday was like focusing on community. Like, community is such a big thing. Yeah. And like, I want to know my neighbors. I want to, you know, go through and like love on people. It's part of who I am. I can't help it. Like, I'm such an empath. Like, I hurt when you hurt, but I'm happy when you're happy. So let's like work toward being happy.
Yeah. I live in a cul-de-sac, so I still don't know my neighbors.
It's okay. I'll come to your house and we can be neighbors or something. Cool. I don't know. I did see your house yesterday. It's so pretty.
It's so nice.
I love it. It's so great.
I'm going to let you grow my grass for me.
Oh, that's Dustin. I can't grow grass. Mm. Oh, no. I still have that new construction look, too, in my backyard. I saw yours. Yep. We're matching. That splotchy, like, the builder said they put down some seed, but, like, they didn't mean it.
They took, like, a handful and, like, grew in the backyard.
And they're like, birds, come get this. Yeah. And, like, but it hit in, like, one spot. Yeah, that's my backyard right now. It's fine.
Not happy about that.
We'll get there. It's fine. My dogs love it. So they just run around and kick sand everywhere because that's what we have in Eastern North Carolina. We have sand.
Yep.
So, no, it's great.
I have clay. That's Do you really? Worse. It's clay.
Oh, I'm straight sand.
That's how my yard is, too. It's just sand. When I was in PA, it was 100% clay the whole way down. Yeah.
But, like, clay is a different beast. Like, I understand I hate sand because, like, I'd love it because I go to the beach. But, like, growing anything in it is
That's what pots are for.
Yes.
I have dogs that bring sand into my house. Like, thank God for a Roomba. But, like, come on, man. Mm-mm.
No, but that clay is a beast. Like, we went through, and I was like, ugh. And I talked to my friend. He's like, I just got them to put down sod across the whole yard in my mortgage setup. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a dummy for not asking somebody to be like, hey, can you put this into my setup?
Sure. Yeah. No, I wish I had done the same thing. But now I'm getting to pick the type of grass, too, so that's cool, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, what are you going for?
I don't know. Dustin picked it out. It's like Southern Gold or something. I don't know. It's expensive and it comes in a bag. Like
I heard that it's actually really comfortable to walk on.
Yeah, it's super soft. We like grew a little bit last year during our like spackling of patchwork of grass. And now that he's home again for a little bit, we're working on a little bit more. So
random.
Yeah.
I just look down and I feel like every single week we get longer and longer. So yes. At some point we will be at that Joe Rogan time.
Yes.
That we
talked about. Hey, so we're getting there. I'm honored to be able to carry a conversation with you guys for that long.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love that it keeps going longer each time we look down. But before we actually let you go, you know this question's coming.
I dun, do. Dun, dun,
dun. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I would tell myself to get to know myself.
Ooh.
So that's a good one. I recall, and I've thought about this because I listened to the podcast, but I really had to think about it. I was like, dang, what would I tell myself? And I just remember being so much in agreement with others and not in a bad way. Like I wasn't like a yes man, like it wasn't like that, but I just never got to know my own opinions. I just knew that I agreed with other people. And so to really hone in and decide on like who you are, like do it. Like I think it's so important to get to know yourself. So
that's fantastic. I love that one.
That was a good one.
Yeah. And the way you started it too was really good because like, if there's one thing that you want to take away from this is that if you sat down and just thought to yourself, like, hey, what would I tell myself?
Sure.
And then just knowing that you had like had previously thought about it too, and were thinking about it. I think that's something important because honestly, for me, it took me until 5 episodes of asking other people until I started thinking about it myself too.
Right. And that, well, it took me a few times of like listening to you guys to kind of get to that point where I was like, you know, I know I'm going to be on there one day. Mm-hmm. That's very pretentious of me to assume that. But I was like, I know I need to think of something. So yeah. And that was the resounding theme of that was like, get to know yourself. Even in today, like this isn't just younger me. Like this is today me too. Like get to know yourself, like know why you agree with things. Like what are your foundations and your principles? And like, what do you think?
Figure out your why.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that.
So
I liked a lot.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, can I kind of off the hip do one more thing? Real
quick? Absolutely.
Send it.
Okay. So this is very important to me and Chris, and I want this to become something important to you, Tyler.
Yeah.
And for something to veterans that come on. So there are three names that Chris and I have vowed our lives at this point to continue to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So Staff Sergeant Johnson. Sergeant Butler.
Yes.
And Sergeant Hardison.
Yes, sir.
Those are the three friends that we lost in Afghanistan. So any opportunity to broadcast that to the world and to know that the three of them were friends of ours and they meant so much to us, we speak their names. We never forget.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate that. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
And any other veterans that come on, I highly recommend doing the same too.
Yeah, for sure. Like, thankfully that not everybody has those names that they need to speak in them. Yeah. Man, I thank God for that every day. But I will say that if you have those names, like keep saying them, keep speaking them for sure.
Well, we ended. We'll try and end on a better note.
It's a high note. Like their memories, man. I've learned so much. So we'll keep it. We'll keep it a high note.
I like high notes, even though I don't ever want to hit them.
God bless that.
Yes. But thank you everybody for listening to the Whiskey and Wisdom podcast. As you know, we've gotten to know a little bit more about Frances Spivey and we've learned quite a bit of wisdom from her. Do follow us on all of our lovely social media outlets, as well as follow us and download any of our podcasts. If you check out our Instagram, we have a link tree that sets you up for success. We do have a buy me a coffee, which is amazing. Frances already bought us a nice round. But if you would like to join her and set us up for success, Tyler loves coffee. I love whiskey. So we'd love for you to buy us around if you can. But otherwise, we'll see you next time, and or hopefully you'll hear us next time.
Thanks, guys. It was awesome.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, for sure. See you guys
again soon. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Cheers.
Cheers.